singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high, and I appreciate the good songs of Zion. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 26. Proverbs in chapter 26. Proverbs in chapter 26. If you're able to stand, we'll read a passage there real quickly. And as we look there in this thing. All right, Proverbs in chapter number 26, verse number 2. As the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and we thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while that, if you will, please, on the curse causeless shall not come. We live in a world that's troubled, no doubt about it. You may be here this morning troubled. If you don't know the Lord, I hope you will be troubled. I hope you can be troubled. You know, the more you say no to God, no to God, no to God when he comes knocking, the easier that it'll get next time to say no to God. I'm hoping and trusting God will trouble your heart to the place to where that you'll finally realize to know that, hey, God's trying to tell me. I'm born a sinner without God. I'm born with a curse on me. I'm born headed straight to hell. I'm not a little bit all right. I'm totally lost without God until I come to know him in the free pardon of sin. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that we live in a world that certainly is a Christ-rejecting world. That's the reason why that there are so many Muslims that worship Allah standing in the streets and cussing the people of God, which is the Jew. They're the apple of God's eye, that he said, and cursed be the nation that curseth them. And let me tell you, we're living in a world that right now that has no problem whatsoever just blaspheming the name of the Lord and cursing the people of God. And let me tell you, as a result of it, we've got a curse here in our own land. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, is that we've read, and notice if you will please, in chapter number 26, there's a heading, and it's about warnings and it's about instructions. In fact, is he started over there in chapter number 20 giving warnings and instructions. And let me say to you, we're living in a nation that does not heed the warning and will not receive the instruction. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, you're going to find that the reason being that there's a curse upon our land, as much as I love America, I guarantee you right now, buddy, I believe in waving the flag of old glory, and I believe in having respectability to the flag of the United States of America as well as to the Christian flag. But make no mistake about it, that's not going to impress God any unless there's been a change of heart and repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here this morning. Maybe you can remember when God came knocking on your heart's door. Might have been in a church service like this. Might have been when you were sitting in the privacy of your home studying or reading your Bible. It might have been while you were meditating and thinking about a sermon you'd already heard. It might have been up and down the road of life that all of a sudden somebody dear to your heart was taken out and God smite you and let you know, had it not been for the grace of God, it could have been you that left this world without hope and without God. In the lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you is that the world is suffering under its own delusion or self-deception. You know, that's the reason why God said over in the book of Galatians, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth his own self. I got to say to you is that the world is a foolish world that we're living in. Over there in the book, don't turn there, but in Proverbs 14 and 1, you'll find out, as well as Proverbs 53 in verse number 1, you're going to find out is that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, I remember a fellow by the name of George Carlin. He's a comedian. He was a blasphemer, but whenever he wasn't spending time blaspheming God, he was a smart man and very smart, and as far as the intellect and entertaining and so forth and on. But whenever he got on a tangent and wanting to run down God and the Bible and things like that, now he's dead and in hell if he died like he lived. I guarantee you right now he thinks different about it now, but it's too late. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And as a result of that, they have no encounter, and they have no repentance, and they have no faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that you were born into the world a sinner. Whether you like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, you were born a sinner. You're born without hope. You're born without God. There's not anything you can do to earn your way to heaven. Is that when God comes knocking on your heart's door and chooses you, and he said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. When he comes knocking on the heart's door, you ought to, by faith, open up and receive him in the free pardon of sin. If you die without Christ, you're going to a devil's hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire. It's where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Now, it's not going to be because that God doesn't love you. It's because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. God said that's what a fool does. He doesn't receive the love of the truth, doesn't believe in God, and puts that out of the mind all the way around. I can tell you, you don't want to believe in God, and that's your privilege and prerogative, but it ain't going to change God any. Whatsoever won't change God one iota. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that the Bible said there that the curse causeless shall not come. There's a reason why this is a mess that we're in right now. There's a reason why that a 20-year-old boy that's laid up there, and now he's in hell itself, but laid up there waiting to shoot the president or the former president of the United States of America. There's a reason why that godless, wicked bunch of baby-killing Democrats are in the office right now. There's a reason for that. I'll tell you why. It's because if we have defied the word of the Lord, and as a result of that, you'll find we're paying the price. There's a high price to pay for low living. I would to God that you could have listened to me whenever we were all younger. And back when you were younger, and you could believe what God said until you finally got to where you've arose, and now nobody can tell you anything. You've got it all figured out. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that if you live without God and you die without God, you're going to spend eternity without God. And that's what hell's all about. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out people are busy deceiving themselves about salvation, about service, about the things of God. I want to say to you that, if you will, that as you look into this lesson that's here, do you know that the answer that you have and that you crave that you may never receive, but you could receive him, but it's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that his name, the Lord, is mentioned some 15,300 times in the Bible? I imagine that you ought to grab hold of the fact that he's pretty important. In fact, he is the most important person you'll ever meet in your life. 6,749 verses concerning the Lord and salvation and the things of God. And if you don't know him in the free pardon of sin, it won't matter how much money that you've made. It won't matter how big your barns are. It won't matter how many much goods you've laid. Remember that man that said, you know what I've done? He said, I've got a problem. I've got so much money, and I don't have big enough barns. Here's what I'm going to do. Over in the book of Luke, you can find this story. You can find this, well, record. It's more than a story. It's an account that's given. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And he says, after he's done all of that, he looked at himself, and he said, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. And here's what God said to him. Thy fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. You ever knew anybody that today they were healthy as a horse, and today they were on top of this world, and by tomorrow the world is on top of them? You ever know anybody like that? Everybody stands and gasps and all of that. I'll tell you why. God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may be sitting here this morning saying, preacher, you don't know how bad my life's been and how wicked I've been. And you're exactly right, I don't. But I know he that does know it, and he can reach farther down than you'll ever be able to reach up. And all you've got to do is take the hand of redemption from God and receive him in the free pardon of sin. As I look into this lesson that's here, you'll find is that the fool, though, in this lesson that we're talking about, has no reasoning. Have you ever listened to some of those nuts on television? Is that whenever you listen to them or you look to them, is that they have no way they can sit down and just God said, come and let us reason together. And they won't reason. You can give them an answer and a reasonable answer, but they don't believe that, see. I got to say to you, they've got no reason. They've got no persuasion about them. And as a result of that, you'll find out they become natural born liars. There's a passage that I want you to look at. Do not lose your thought, but over in the book of Daniel, if you could find that in the book of Daniel, there's a passage over there that I want you to look at just real quickly. And as we look there in the lesson in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 9, it's about verse number 8, there's a passage there that we ought to look at, chapter 9, the book of Daniel, at about verse number 8. Now listen to what he said. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Why is that? Well, they've gone into captivity. They've gone into captivity because of the fact that they disobeyed the Lord and they turned their back on God. And now Daniel, who is in captivity with them, says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, and to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we've sinned against thee. I want to tell you right now, sin is but an ugly thing, and it's a high price to pay for low living. And sin, somebody said that, who was it, years ago? And Brother Bill Allen, when he was alive, he said, sin will carry you farther than you plan to go. It'll cost you more than you plan to pay. It'll keep you longer than you plan to stay. So you're not going to dibble and dabble in sin and turn it loose when you're ready, because what it's going to do is grab hold of you. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, you'll find the wicked, they cannot be persuaded. The kings of this earth cannot be persuaded. I mean, the leadership that we have is just sorrier than you want to mention. And yet you'll find there it is out there. God's given us people that hate us, and because of the fact that we've not listened to the Lord, and as a result of that, the average Baptist, they're in church, out of church, more out than they are in. As a result of that, they've defied the living God. As a result of that, they've desecrated the day of the Lord. You ever notice that Sunday's just another pleasure-seeking day for the religious world that we're living in? In fact is, we know so little bit about God as that we're living in a world that, they must be so educated about God that a little bit Sunday morning, we call them Sunday morning glories. They show up on a Sunday morning, that's about it, and they're done. And sometimes it's only like once or twice a month, sometimes once or twice a year. That's the reason why Christmas and Easter are so good. And boy, let me tell you right now, do I try to preach a barn burner on every one of those times with Christmas and Easter. Why? I can tell you why, and I said this over and over again, I'm going to say it to you again right now, that if what you got in your heart don't bring you faithfully to the house of God, I'd be afraid it wouldn't carry me to heaven either. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that it's full of lies and confusion. I'm talking about from the leaders of this country. Listen, do you realize it? No, I used to have one back there. I don't know where it's at anymore. It may be put aside, put up, and that's fine. But I used to have a little pamphlet back there that shows you what an aborted baby looks like. You go to looking at a baby that is head cut off, but dumped in a dumpster, and they are lined up for cosmetic people. And you go to looking at their arms, their legs, and their feet, and drug apart and tore apart, and that's what abortion is. And let me tell you, ain't nobody going to tell you that in the day and hour that we're living in. Some of you may have gone that route and route, and I want to tell you there's forgiveness with God. But there's been a lot of people, I guarantee you, it's just another. I listened to a young lady arguing with somebody that had more sense than she did and said, you know, it's not really a person till a certain day and time. Well, what an idiot she is. You know why she says that? She doesn't believe the Bible. God knew Jeremiah before he was ever born. God called him while he's in his mama's womb. God knew Isaiah, buddy, and before he's ever born. God, you understand me? I'm going to tell you, friend, that's what's wrong with this world in the day and hour that we're living in. Is the pulpiteers have gotten to where that they've got a hernia on their lung and a bunion on their tongue and not going to say anything about anybody that might have a pretty good sized pocketbook. Somebody asked me one time, you know, and did I believe in gambling? And I don't. I don't believe in gambling. I don't practice gambling and this and that. Of course, this was some nut, you know, that was busy going down there to what they call the boats. I'm visiting and trying to gamble and make all of that business there. As quiet as it is, some of y'all may be boaters. Let me tell you, it's the most hideous thing in the sight of God. Do you know that's the only sin that's mentioned at the foot of the cross? They were casting lots for his vesture. And they were gambling to see who could get it. I want to tell you something right now is that you're going to find out that you may be tempted. Somebody, they said, "Preacher, what would you do if somebody won $50,000 and they walked in and said, 'I want it down there at the gambling'?" I said, I'd take that offering plate and I'd hold it right up there to it and I'd put it in there. And when they looked at me cross-eyed, "You mean tell me you're taking this money after I told you how I got it?" Yes. Sinners have had that money long enough. It's time to use it for God. See? It got nothing to do with the money that's there. That ain't got nothing to do. I mean, the problem's on the person that's doing all that business. You see what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that, if you will, that in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that we live in a world that worships the Green New Deal. And all that business right there, they worship the Green New Deal and they're bleeding us dry. Listen, they've opened up the border and I don't know how many millions. Some say 40 million, some say 100 million. I don't know how many. I just know, buddy, there was a bunch of them coming across every day. And they're still coming in. And they're still being dispersed here, there, and yon. And it's because of our leaders that have sinned against God, that hate God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. I want to say to you, when you begin to look into this, is that the reason why that the President of the United States, who's a bumbling idiot. I mean, I'm sorry that the old man's being put through all that he has, but he's been a lying, cheating, conniving, crooked devil all of his life. And I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that while that inflation, you know the reason why he thinks inflation's down, he doesn't have to go to the grocery store and buy nothing. He doesn't have to go to a gas pump and pump gas. He doesn't, you get in the picture? That's the reason why all them Hollywood people, you know, they go after that. They're not buying groceries. They don't know how much a grocery bill costs and so forth and so on and how much it went up and all that business there. Now, here's the reason why I even mention any of this. Let me tell you something. Our country is in danger to the tune of millions of people that are enemies that have been allowed in. Now, here's what's got me. How is it they can run a poll and it's pretty close neck and neck, 50-50? What kind of country do we live in? I'll tell you why. We live in a divided country. And I can tell you, the Bible said that a divided house can't stand. You show me a man and a woman that can't get along together, and I'll show you a house that finally is going to collapse. It's not going to stand. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, well, I'll tell you, give you an example. I think she's a very bright woman. She's ugly as a mud fence, in my opinion. But what's her name, that Conway? Kelly? Is it Kelly Conway? Kellyanne Conway. She was married to a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. She's a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. Of course, they're divorced now. All that business there. I got to say to you that, if you will, I listen to her and all that business. I don't like looking at her, but I listen to her whenever they got a little excerpt there and putting on and so forth and so on. I got to say to you that, if you will, that I'm glad there's a few people like that that's smart in the realm of politics and they know what is right and wrong. But I got to tell you, I'm worried about all that crowd that speaks out of both sides of their mouth. They're praising queers out of one side of their mouth and condemning Democrats out of the other. Now, I got to tell you right now, if there's ever a bunch that needs to be condemned, the Democratic Party is just a godless and a wicked bunch. And they always have been. I had a cousin of mine. He's a Christian, a good man. He died and he's went to heaven. And he used to vote with whichever president was coming on the scene that could get him the most money and that he felt like would be the most profitable for him to make money. I said, shame on you. You're going to vote for that godless, wicked bunch when they openly stand against God, the Bible, good and right and moral and decent for the sake of money? What would it profit a man if he gained the world and lost his own soul? And then he says, what would you give in exchange for your soul? I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that our life ought to be an example. And by that I'm talking about we ought to be able to let our children see the faithfulness of God in our lives. Now, if you're not careful, you'll begin to look for an excuse. Well, if I'm going to do this, well, I don't care. Ben does that, and I don't care. Is that Lindsay and Monica? What about them and all that? I'm going to tell you something. You better not be following a pattern in your life after Ben or anybody else you can mention. You better be looking back into the Word of the Lord and find out what thus saith God about this man. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you, if you're not careful, you know, over in the book of Hosea, the Bible talks about, he says over there, a divided house, in the book of Mark, chapter number 3, and verse number 25, he said that a house divided can't stand. Then in Luke chapter 11 and verse 17, he said a kingdom divided. Well, we're in a divided kingdom. We don't have a king except for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not a king right now to us. Coming down, now he's the king in my heart, I guarantee you that. And then he's coming back, King of kings and Lord of lords, no doubt about that. But I got to say to you that as we get ready to close, is that God wants you and I to be an example that we can follow. Now, I got to tell you, in all this business here, do you realize to know that not only do I want to be an example that my kids could follow, I want to be an example that your kids can follow. I guarantee you right now, they notice what the preacher's doing, why he's doing it, when he's doing it, if he's doing it. If I'm not here, they're going to want to know where he's at. I've got places where in my Bible that I've got recorded to where whenever I was out of town, and these were but little tots, and I was out of town. I might have been out of town preaching. And they want to know, where's Papa at? Don't you think they notice you and what you're doing and see by example? Do you realize, I know, that we ought to be a leader to our family by an exhortation? And by that, I'm talking about for their hearing. I was thinking about, you know, every now and again, and I probably we're all doing a whole lot better on it and all this and that. But you know, whenever you hear a kid cussing, where do you think they learned that from? Do you realize and know that this pawpaw, if I have to keep your kids, and I don't want to, but I will, and if I do, you won't never have to come home and worry about smelling beer on their breath that their pawpaw gave them. You won't have to worry about pawpaw, buddy, carrying them a direction and letting them see and hear things they ought not to be seeing and hearing. And then I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that we ought to be an example. And if you're going to be an example, like the first thing we mentioned, and that is something they can see, then if you're going to exhort them, that's something they can hear, then let me let you know, lest we get the cart before the horse, that the example before exhortation is the example. If you're not going to be an example, it won't do you any good to exhort them. How many times you heard this? Well, now don't do as I do. Do as I tell you to do. That is sorry preaching. You ought to be able to tell them, like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. See? And as a result of that, I don't mind cutting up and having a good time. In fact, I believe in it. I believe in cutting up and having a good time. But we live in a world of fools that are foolish, that have no regard for God and the Bible and good and right and moral and decent. Maybe you're here this morning and God has finally knocked on your heart's door. And you know it's you. You don't have to worry about it. I remember when God came and knocked on my heart's door in the matter of salvation, in the matter of service. I remember whenever I surrendered my heart, my life. That's a big step. It's a very, very, it's a very serious matter. And let me tell you right now, you'd better be in it for the long haul. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that if you're going to be able to exhort your family, the first thing you're going to have to be is an example to them. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, maybe you're here, and maybe as our musicians come, maybe you're here, God's been knocking at your heart, been tugging at you and you didn't know why. But now you know. There's some business.